welcome to this edition of Cross Defense on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, welcoming you into this apologetics program. Apologetics, it's a biblical word. Apologia means to present a defense. And we have a good apologetic, a defense today about some people who usually show up at your door. I'm talking about Mormon missionaries or your friends that are in the Mormon church. And we even had a candidate for United States president that belonged to this faith. And so there's a lot of talk out there. Are they a Christian group or are they not? To help us sort that out and come up with an apologetic, it's our pleasure to welcome in Pastor Mark Cares of Truth and Love Ministry and a Wisconsin Synod pastor in Idaho. Welcome back to Cross Defense, Mark.
It's great to be back, and I'm glad I'm not back in St. Louis where it sounds like it's very cold.
Yeah, but we're going to come out of this soon. So not that cold in Idaho?
No, I mean, we you don't want to hear this. We cooled down, so we're in the low 40s right now. So.
Oh, boy. I saw that, you know, friends that live out west near Denver, and it's been warm, but they're getting some snow. So, wow. Well, maybe you spoke a little early, because we were in the 50s and 60s for a while, and then we got blasted with this global warming mass that poured through here.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, before we get into our topic, we want to have you talk a little bit about Truth and Love Ministry, the organization that you head, and it's such a great thing. And you can find more information at TILM.org. That's Truth and Love Ministry, TILM.org. Tell us what it is basically, and then give us a little update on some of the good things the Lord is doing through that group.
Well, thank you. Yes, we're a ministry exclusively dedicated to witnessing to the LDS. Out here in Idaho, we do have a lot of LDS, and that's how it started many years ago. But the Lord is really blessing us with opportunities to share God's word with the LDS. And what we're trying to do is talk to them about the stresses that Mormonism places on them. You know, too often Christians talk to Mormons about the things that bug us about Mormonism, but we would like to identify the stresses of Mormonism and then bring God's word to those stresses. And the Lord is really has been blessing that outreach. For example, just a couple examples, like last summer we do a media campaign every summer in Utah, and then we followed up with people on the street. And last summer, in our 2 weeks out on the street, we got into over 1,400 witnessing conversations just at the door.
Wow.
And of those 1,400, about 300 were from like a half hour to up to 4 hours long. So you know, these are not often very brief, and, you know, and then we get contact information and so forth. So the Lord just, you know, is, when we are talking to people about, you know, their stresses, their ears perk up, and so the Lord is blessing that. And then our other initiative that we just started this fall is where we're actually proactively asking for LDS missionaries to come into our homes, and then we train people, and our whole strategy is to have repeated visits with the missionaries, and over those repeated visits that we can witness repeatedly to them by reacting to what they present to us. And that, again, has been going wonderfully. We average 8 to 9 visits with missionaries.
Wow.
In the homes.
Hey, Mark, if someone out there, be they, you know, Lutheran or Christian, pastor, layperson, that would like, you know, to get more, you know, education, more information on how we can truly be a blessing to these Mormon friends and neighbors when they come to our houses or so forth. Do you speak at groups that ask you to come in? Do you do presentations?
Oh, we sure do. Yes, we sure do. In fact, this week is the first week I'm actually home in Idaho all week since the beginning of the year. So I've been on the road a lot doing presentations. So, yeah, we do that, and we would love people to contact us. And the easiest way is to go to that website you mentioned, TILM.org, and just send us an email, and then we can start seeing, you know, scheduling and so forth. So.
I know by just going through it today, it's a very nice website, and you got a lot of good information for us out there. So people can begin to learn a lot by just going on your website. If they can't get, you know, one of your organization to come out and speak to them, do you have video resources that they can obtain as well?
Yes, we do. We have some resources, and we also have our own YouTube channel, and the link is right on the website again.
Okay.
Where there's a number of videos with witnessing tips and so forth. And we blog, you know, every week on our website, where we are trying to always bring new stuff in about witnessing the Mormons. So our website really is quite robust and has a whole lot of information.
That it is. I'm so old-fashioned. I'm a bookaholic. I'd rather read. And I want to recommend Mark's book. I remember years ago getting that, Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons. It's just a great book, Mark. And I know you went through some revisions with it. And talk to us about, you have three big points that you make in the book, and you also, I think, make in your group, Truth in Love Ministry. Tell us about those three big things that we should keep in mind when we're sharing Jesus with our Mormon friends.
Well, I haven't read my book in a long time, so I don't know why.
Well, I can tell you what they are then.
But I was just got off the phone before with somebody else, actually a church that's going through one of our Bible studies. And one of the points that we often make is, you know, when Christians are witnessing to LDS people, we have a tendency to often major on minor points. And what we really want to do is, again, stick to the basics, you know, law and gospel, and don't worry too much about all the periphery doctrines. My experience is once a Mormon understands what Jesus has done for them and the Holy Spirit has brought them to faith, all the other stuff, yeah, they might have to be addressed and stuff, but they don't wrestle with as much. So first, you know, one big point is stick to the basics of law and gospel, and don't debate Mormonism as much as witness Christ to them. Another point that we just really are trying to emphasize over and over is put a loving face on Christianity. We want to speak the truth, yes, but in love. And especially like when we're witnessing to the LDS missionaries right now, one of the reasons they keep on coming back is because we show them genuine love and concern, and they don't experience it that much on their mission. So we really, when we're talking to them, we want to be open, honest, you know, dealing with the doctrine, but also in a loving way. And probably one of the biggest points is we got to speak their language. They define words completely differently than we do. And so when we are talking, like a Mormon, for example, will agree with us. They are saved by grace alone. But the trouble with that is they define saved more like resurrection, and grace is more not a characteristic of God, but this enabling power, or, you know, this means of strength that God gives them. It's almost like the idea of infused grace. So once you understand their language, you say, oh, no, that's not what I meant. So you really have to understand their definitions.
So a lot of, when we're talking to them, a lot of listening and then asking questions by, what do you mean by that word or that phrase, right?
Oh, yes. And again, that's one of a loving thing to do, is not to assume and then to ask the question. And again, in our experience is that when we do that and we sincerely listen and ask those questions, and the LDS people are willing to share. I think what is surprising to many Christians is that, you know, a lot of LDS people don't really have a very solid foundation in a sense of doctrine. You know, their whole religion is based on their doing, what they're doing, and on their feelings. And therefore, sometimes they might struggle in the sense of what do they really believe. But that's where we're lovingly at least try to get them to think about what they believe.
Sure. Well, that is a perfect segue into today's discussion with you, Mark. And before we go further, you know, let's make sure that all our listeners out there understand that what we are meaning here, and use this LDS, that's Latter-day Saints. So I want to begin there. They call themselves officially the Church of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. And They not only poise as a Christian church, don't they, Mark? They poise as the true church of Jesus Christ of these latter days.
Yes, they do. And again, a lot of Christians might become offended by when the sense that if a LDS, I like to call them LDS because they prefer that than Mormon, so that's why I fall into that. But when an LDS person is speaking and they claim to be Christian, a lot of Christians say, how can you do that? But they sincerely believe they're Christians, and one of the reasons that they believe this is because they don't know what Christianity really teaches, and therefore they just think we're pretty much the same. And one of the reasons they don't know why what Christianity teaches is because so many Christians are not really telling them, this is what I believe.
Sure. So for us Christians, we really have to understand what we believe, why we believe it, and then understand what they, as the Latter-day Saints, the LDS, the Mormons, believe, and then let them know that belief in LDS will never get you to heaven. And that's where you're saying the law and gospel. So let's just begin with this, and then we'll unload it, Mark. Are they really Christian if they're following the teachings that they're handed down from Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, all the way down? Are they following Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ?
No, they aren't. And I'll give you a couple, sayings or scriptures from them just to emphasize this. And probably one of the things I use in my presentation is kind of interesting is I hold up a book for children. It was written about 2 years ago. It was written by one of the wife of the 12 apostles of the LDS Church. And it's called the Not Even Once Club. And I hold that up and I just said, guess what this book is about? And it's aimed for like 6 or 7 year old kids. And a Not Even Once Club is a club that they join by vowing not even to sin once. So to enter the club, you will never have to sin.
Wow.
Where do I
sign up for this club, Mark?
Yeah, that one visual aid often gets most Christians saying, whoa, that doesn't sound Christian to me. But the other thing is there's a saying in Mormonism, and it used to be much more common but still used today, is as man is, God once was, as God is, man may become. If you unfold that, basically that first line, as man is, God once was, tells us that God, and this is how they would put it, is different from us, not in kind. He's not a different being. He's different from us in degree, in a sense that he has just progressed further. He once was a man who has progressed further down the path. And then the second line of that is, as God is, man may become. According to the scriptures like D and C, that Doctrines and Covenants is one of their scriptures. It says that they can become gods. It doesn't say become like gods. It says they can become gods. And that's what that second line says, as God is, man may become.
That's really close to what Joel Osteen is putting down. I've heard him a couple of times. He does Genesis 1 and 2 and never gets to 3. And he says, the problem is, hey, we were made in the image of God. We just have to reclaim it.
Right.
But that's pretty close, isn't it?
And the problem with that is not only, the problem of what he's doing within Christianity, but from my perspective, Mormonism, your scholarly Mormons, well, first of all, look at a liberal Christianity and their low view of the Bible and say, see, the Bible had mistakes just like we said it did. So they put a lot of weight on liberal Christianity and its low view of the Bible. And then on the other end, they will take statements like Joel Osteen and say, see, we're Christian just like them. He's saying the same thing we are.
Now, do they have any belief at all as Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, of the triune God?
No. The Trinity is something that is this mind-boggling to them. They cannot accept it. And this is where sometimes Christians really get upset. And, I try to say, they're blinded. They're blinded. I always say Mormons are victims themselves. They're victims of Mormonism, and we have to see them as victims. But here's just two teachings about Jesus that, again, shows their unchristian nature. First of all, they would say that Jesus is the first spirit child of Heavenly Father and Mother, So there was a Heavenly Mother, and in Mormonism, we all are spirit children, but he was the first spirit child. So he was on the same level as us, but again, has progressed. He was the first child. But the thing that really bothers Christians, and I would have to say a lot of LDS people don't even know that Mormonism teaches this, but when Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God, in Mormonism, in official Mormonism, that is defined as he's the only one that was physically begotten by the Father as a man. I don't want to be crass or anything, but basically, Heavenly Father had impregnated Mary, and that's why Jesus is the only begotten.
So, it sounds good, the only begotten. Son, it sounds very Christian almost, but you're saying the way they unpack those words is not even anywhere in the ballpark.
No, it's correct. And again, just at Christmas and stuff, this is where a lot of, both on both sides of the fence, LDS and Christians become confused, because they might be, talking like at Christmas about Christ is the only begotten and so forth. And they're really hearing two separate things. Christians are hearing one thing, Mormons are hearing something else. But if you don't know the difference, they both sides believe they're hearing the same thing.
Mark, is that why, that beautiful Mormon Tabernacle Choir, world famous, can sing all those great Christmas carols that are rich with the incarnation, the virgin birth and all that, and they are hearing it and filtering it completely different than the rest of the world of Christianity does.
Correct. And if you go into a LDS church and look at their hymnal, their hymnal has, yes, it has some unique LDS hymns, but it has quite a few, what we would say, Christian hymns. It has a Mighty Fortress in the LDS hymnal.
No kidding.
What it does is, in many hymns, what it does, it might change the wording just a little bit, or more commonly, maybe leave out a verse or something. It's altered a little bit. But again, when a Christian enters the LDS church and hears these songs being sung and hears a message that sounds maybe Christian, in many ways, it's easy to see why Christians sometimes say, well, aren't they Christian also?
Now, when these Mormons, these LDS people talk about Jesus as, you referred to it as the first spirit child, and then the only son physically begotten, is that kind of what you were saying, Mark?
Yes.
Are they really putting forth that, was Jesus like eternal from the beginning, or there was a point that he did not exist? And that's an ancient heresy in the Christian church, of course.
Right. And they would say, yes, he has a beginning, so he is not eternal. Well, in fact, the Father had a beginning, because he once was a man.
There you go. A man is, God once was, and therefore,
right.
There you go. Okay,
yeah.
So that little slogan really does put it into some sequence and some perspective.
Right. And many Christians will say, well, where did the first God? It's kind of like, the question that we ask evolutionists sometimes, where did it first start? And many Christians are trying to talk to Mormons, where did the first God come? And here's one of those points where we're saying, that's not a question that ever bothers Mormons, and it's not worth talking about, because they don't care, and it's not going to bother them if you ask that question. So even though it might be a question we're saying this makes logical sense, people are not brought into the kingdom by logic. It's by the power of of God's word.
Amen. Speaking of that power of God's word to create that faith, if you ask a Mormon, especially one of their theologians, was Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, how would they respond to that? Do they have semantics that cover up that, or will they agree, disagree?
I think they would. Where they would disagree would be by the Holy Ghost, because they would say, he was conceived by Heavenly Father. Now, some of your more polished scholars will try to kind of twist that around to try to get the Holy Spirit in, because they have interacted more and more with Christians. But, your historic Mormon teaching is really, he was conceived by Heavenly Father.
Wow. And because maybe an important point for a lot of people to take away from this today, Mark, is what you were saying about that, we let our LDS, our Mormon friends, know that we care for them, and then we spend a lot of time listening and asking questions about what they're really believing. And I read this, and I wanted your opinion. Is this a good example that there was some person writing a book about all different religions, and so we talked to a Mormon spokesman, and he asked him, do Mormons believe in the virgin birth? And the LDS spokesman answered, yes, the Latter-day Saints accept the miraculous conception of Jesus the Christ. Then this is in, that famous Kingdom of the Cults that Walter Martin put out, and then people have gone on. And it was used to be an example of the links that the LDS Church will do to place semantics, to make it look like it's Christian and matching up, and it's not really.
Right, and the distinction I think I would try to make with the audience is that I think the LDS Church and its leadership intentionally is trying to, obscure their unchristian nature, and they're trying to appear Christian. I think your grassroots LDS people, your common members, they themselves are deceived in that thinking. So they are not really intentionally trying to be deceptive. They have themselves been deceived. And so reminds me often how Paul talked about false teachers. He would come down very harshly on false teachers, but sometimes when to the people who were being swayed by those false teachers, he could show a lot more sympathy, and he would try to reach out to them. And I see the same thing with the LDS people.
Okay. So that's really helpful, and I think central to our conversations with them, that we keep that in mind, because we're not out to show them up. We're not out to make them look stupid. We're not out to win a debate. We're out to win souls for Jesus Christ. And so when we begin a conversation, so I guess the first thing is when they come to our doors, we don't slam the doors and yell out, "We're Lutherans, get away," right?
Well, what's so interesting, I'm glad you brought that up, because LDS missionaries are out there for 2 years. I've asked hundreds of ones who have returned from their mission, how often did a Christian try to actually witness to you? And almost without, I can just say the average is always two. Once a year, they usually would get a Christian to try.
Once a year. Wow.
But the thing that really is striking is that another stat is that about 50% of LDS missionaries, when they get off their mission, are unsure about Mormonism. They're not quite sure about Mormonism. But you know what? If they've been rudely treated by Christians for 2 years, the last place they're going to look for answers is a Christian church. That's why, like last year in Provo, I've been on the streets in Provo, Utah, which is about 95% Mormon, for over 50 hours the last couple summers.
Wow. Let's hold that until we come back from this break, Mark, and we'll pick it up right there about Provo, Utah, the home of Brigham Young University. And we'll ask the question that Jesus asked, who do the LDS Church say that I am? You're listening to Book Talk. We're talking about the apologetic of the false Jesus of Mormonism. More of that when we come back from these messages.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true Word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
Are you one of the 1.32 billion Facebook users? More importantly, do you follow Worldwide KFUO on Facebook? When you follow KFUO, you'll learn about upcoming programs and guests. You'll see pictures of the studio and live KFUO events. Go to Facebook.com/KFUO Radio and click the like button. Then share us with your friends and follow along throughout the day. Liking KFUO Radio on Facebook will help you share the faith with your friends and keeps you up to date on what's going on at Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The LCMS shares the good news of Jesus' incarnation, death, and resurrection with those in our own backyards, in urban, rural, and small town areas, and with Hispanic, Black, and other ethnic communities. This month, we are focusing on our national mission work. Join us in supporting this work. Find resources at lcms.org/themes/February.
Do you know someone who enjoys being with children from infant to teenager? The Office of International Mission at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs child care workers ages 16 and up from March 2nd through the 13th during the hours of 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. to help look after the children of missionaries who will be at the International Center for New Missionary Orientation. For more information, please contact Amy Schaefer, 314-996-1332.
I'm Larry Troxell from Quincy, Illinois, also pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois. My wife Donna and I are day sponsors of KFUO because we are thrilled to have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus through this ministry around the world. The station is now celebrating its 90th year, and the Lord continues to open doors for the proclamation of His Word through this station. You may be a part of this marvelous ministry by becoming a day sponsor also. Our day sponsorship is for my wife's birthday. You can pick a date that's meaningful to you also. You will have an important part in the ongoing ministry of this station in carrying the good news about Jesus throughout the world.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
Welcome back to Cross Defense, February 23rd edition. I'm Pastor Rod Zwanitzer. Today we're talking with Reverend Mark Gares. He's a Lutheran pastor in Idaho of the Wisconsin Synod, our dear brothers and sisters there. And he's also a long-time advocate for outreach of the best kind of Jesus to our Mormon friends. Truth and Love Ministry is the organization, TILM.org. Truth and Love Ministry, TILM.org. Mark, we're talking today about the defense of Jesus with this false one of the Mormon faith. And so we're going to start this segment off by asking the question, if Jesus were to pose the questions the question, excuse me, to the LDS people today, who do you say that I am? How would they answer?
Well, they would answer that he's their savior. Now let me unpack that. They would answer, he is my savior. They talk a lot about his atonement. But as you study LDS teaching, as you understand their words, the way that he is their savior is one thing, he conquered physical death for them. So that's the one big thing he did, enabling them to go back into the presence of God. And they always say that. What is sometimes unsaid and sometimes stated, they go back into the presence of God to be judged, and according to what they have done will determine where they go. So I always say, Jesus has got them to the courtroom, but not be anything beyond there.
Wow, let me stop you there, because that, I think that is really salient, that Jesus saves them from physical death, gets them into the courtroom of judgment, and then it's not his atonement for their sins. It's what they have done in their bodily life. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes, that's the way to do it. One of the most common Book of Mormon passages is, by grace you are saved after all you can do. And again, you have to understand grace is more the enabling power. So the way that is understood is you have to expend all your energy, and let's say you expend it all, and then God gives you grace in the sense of giving you some power, an energy drink to keep on moving. And so it really, on the bottom line, it depends on your works. I often like to tell people, don't call Mormonism a work-based religion, especially to LDS, because you will have a battle. I prefer to call it a grace plus religion. You end up in the same place, but then you are acknowledged. They do talk about grace, but as the Bible says, if you add anything to grace, it just ruins grace.
Amen. I mean, Galatians really would shoot that down quickly, wouldn't it?
Oh, I love Galatians. I mean, that's basically what Paul was struggling with, right? The Judaizers said, believe in Jesus, but add circumcision.
Yeah. Believe everything that the Apostle Paul told you about faith in Jesus and all that. Just add these other things to it. And I'm with you, Mark. I think he puts in grace plus or minus anything. It negates heaven for you, negates salvation. And so that's a great way to do it with the Mormon friends, too, because they're going to listen more if you start saying, okay, take your grace and then add your works, your religion to it, and that's going to negate heaven for me if you look at Galatians.
Right, and that's where we find we have much, and we can put the focus on that concept that, I'm acknowledging you're going to talk about grace, and even I'm not even going to worry about how you define it right now. I'm going to really concentrate on that plus, and let's put the discussion right there. Usually we can get into a fruitful discussion.
Now, I really like what you said at the beginning of the program, Mark, that it's a real important thing for us to do law and gospel and quickly get to the gospel and tell them the good news about Jesus. And so when we're witnessing to the Mormon, do we want to approach this from the aspect of, you're good, grace plus whatever you can do is not going to meet the demands of God for eternal life in heaven? Is that a good way to go? How would you recommend? I'm just going to jump to my last question here because we're there and we want to spend the time on that. How can we really help them see the real Jesus who loved them and died for them and finished it, everything from start to finish for their salvation?
What I'd like to do is, first of all, kind of remind the Christian is much more positive, and it's almost like a magnet drawing them in when we talk about the positives of Christianity rather than the negatives of Mormonism. So what I want to do, and the way that I like to do this, and again, I remind Christians, because I see a lot of confusion in the Christian world on this point, is the confusion between our status in Christ and the state that we're living in right now. And I say, my status in Christ is that I am perfect. I am a saint. I am a child of God. You can pile up all those terms, an heir of heaven. And that's what I really want to be witnessing to the Mormon is what my status is. And yes, I will acknowledge to them, I'm still in the state of sinning. You know, I like to tell LDS people, I'm a saint. I'm a sinning saint. But you know what's important is that God has officially given me the status of perfection saint, his beloved child.
And so in essence, it would be another way to say that, and I like where you're going with this at the same time simultaneously saint and sinner, that, you know, the judgment is already taken place, and all that the real court trial is going to be at the last day of judgment is affirmation of what's already been happening, you know, that God declares you not guilty in Jesus. So a status in Christ, not the state of your life in Christ, huh?
Right, exactly. And the way I try to picture that about Judgment Day is I usually go to a graduation, whether it's high school or college, and I always say, you know, sometime before the graduation, the student knows if he's going to be, you know, graduating or not.
If he's going to get the diploma, that the real thing or not.
Right. But you know, graduation day is just a public acknowledgement of that. It's not like you're holding your breath on graduation day saying, am I going to get that diploma?
Are they going to call my name? I'm going to stand over here at the side of the stage and they're never going to call my name.
Right, right. And so I say, judgment day is when I already know what my diploma is going to say. You know,
yeah.
I got that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think I shared this with you that I first began my ministry up in Canada, and I was asked to talk with the family that had moved back to my area, and the husband was falling back into Mormonism, and the wife didn't want it, and so she asked me to visit with him, and you know, I decided that real quickly, you know, he was trying to get me to talk about the minor things, as you reminded us at the beginning, you know, don't get off on the side peripheral issues. You'll have plenty of time after you can convince them that justification by grace through faith is it. And so all of a sudden it hit me, and I think I shared this with you when you're on before, Mark. I asked for a piece of paper, and I said, I'm going to write down what it takes for you to get in heaven according to the Christian faith. And I said, just believe that Jesus fulfilled the law for you, the Ten Commandments. Then he died in punishment for your not meeting those Ten Commandments. And if you believe that, you're going to go to heaven. And I signed it and dated it and said, go do the same with your Mormon leader. And he came back a week later, two pages, single-spaced, have to do this, have to go to the, and the guy was stunned. Is that kind of a great way to approach it, to show them that there's no way possible they can meet the demands even that this LDS faith puts out there?
Yes, that's a good way, and maybe just a little twist on that. I did this last week with an LDS missionary, because they often, you know, we'll come off, well, we believe basically the same thing and so forth. And what I often do is just say, you know, I don't try to say it in a very threatening way or anything, but I just say, I'm just curious. In your sight right now, as you look at me and you know some of my beliefs now, do you believe that I don't have to do anything else and that I will live forever with Heavenly Father? Because that's their highest kingdom. And, you know,
You're kind of using their vocabulary there, aren't you? Heavenly Father.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm also living eternally. And, you know, he looked at me and said, oh, no, you know, you got a lot more knowledge.
You got to get to work on this, Mark.
Right. Right. But see, so what was nice about that is that my next question is, are you still sitting here and saying we believe the same thing?
Very good.
You know,
so get them to see that what they're trying to follow to please the Heavenly Father is not what you are at all.
Right, right. And then, you know, I followed that up and said, why would I want to consider Mormonism when I got everything I already need? Why would I give that up? You know, again, thinking like in Galatians where Paul says, you know, why are you thinking of going back to the law? You know, you already have it.
Yeah. So we don't do good works, or we don't try to get rid of sin to please the Heavenly Father and you know, pass the day of judgment. We already have done that in Jesus. Now we're doing that in his honor so that he might reach out to other people that don't believe, and our LDS friends would be in that.
Right. It this reminds me of what one of our people or one of our missionaries in Utah said last summer, because once they understand this, an LDS person will often say, well, that means you can go and do anything you want, you know, and they're, you know, you can sing anything. And this wonderful lady responded back and said, yes, you're right. And that's why I'm here, because I want to tell you about Jesus.
Wow. So they must be stunned, absolutely stunned, when they find out they've been following the wrong Jesus, kind of like Martin Luther did in his life when he discovered that the real Jesus, the Jesus that the Bible reveals, is totally a different, let's just put it, a different Jesus. He and the Mormon had a false conception of Jesus.
Right, and it's one thing I think we Christians really need to think more, you know, carefully about, and this was impressed upon me again last summer. We had a speaker, a lady, a couple of sisters come in who were actually raised in a polygamous community down there, and they're Christian now. But this one sister, she was just telling me, talking to our group, and just saying, please, when you go to an LDS person and you're saying that, you know, it's done for you, the works aren't there, you know, that's wonderful news. But on the other hand, you are just telling them that their entire life has been wasted. And just think about how devastating that is.
So you're saying you have to use some discretion, use some care of your choice of words and all those.
And also understand that this could hit them like a ton of bricks, in a sense. You know, it's like if I was doing, you know, let's just say I was, and I used the illustration earlier this morning, I used the illustration, you know, over the weekend I was getting all my tax preparations, you know, all my documents ready for the tax.
Now you're making me feel guilty, Mark.
Well, anyway, if my wife were walked in and said, why are you doing that? I did that already. I was going, oh, and I probably would even get mad at her a little bit. You know?
Ah, great analogy.
You know, my initial reaction probably won't be rejoicing, because you just told me I wasted my entire weekend doing this. You know,
and all of my family, all of my community, because they really do a good job on that, and I've heard that from my LDS friends of making family and the family of the church vital, like in your employment, your social, all right. of that. They help each other. They look after each other. To say to them, that's all a waste, and you've thrown all that time away,
yeah.
and these people have lied profoundly to you, and they're evil people, right? So you careful that you pull the rug out from under their lives that fast.
Oh, yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, we have to do it with a lot of concern, and what we have found, again, if we can just, you know, verbalize that point that this could be a real struggle for you, but we realize, you know, this is really worth it.
I think we've talked about this before, Mark, or I've read it in your materials, that we have to be careful, too, while we're working with them and if they're interested, that we really need to become their really family in Jesus, right? To surround
sure.
them with love and care that they're used to and want. And I know that from my own upbringing, Mark, as I think I told you, I grew up in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and there's a big Mormon community there. And my best friend in high school, his dad was the Mormon bishop, one of the wards, and great people, very nice people. So we need to be careful and gird them up as we're slowly shifting them over there to the real Jesus.
Right. I don't think we as Christians often realize just the point you just made, and I just want to underscore, is how much their entire life is wrapped up in family and church. I mean, and if you take that away, you know, it's not just a little hole, it's a gigantic hole. And I know of some LDS people who have kind of went back to Mormonism because the Christian church just wasn't there for fellowship or even activity. I mean, they just didn't have a family at all, and that's something we got to work on.
Sure, and you know, some of us Lutherans, we can be so good at just making it an hour thing and don't talk to anybody, don't smile, come in and put your dollar in the offering plate and then go home and nobody ever knows you're even there. And so that becoming the body of Christ and caring for all the members is important to all of us, but it's essential to these ex-LDS people people that are considering it. So that's an important part. Mark, can you think of other approaches, other things we need to say to them to get them to see the real Jesus?
Well, I think what I would just encourage all your listeners to do is, and again, it could apply to anybody, but especially with the LDS, I think I always say the Lord gives us opportunities to witness. And too often in my own life, I see those opportunities in my rearview mirror because I wasn't prepared for them. I said, oh yeah, you know, two hours ago when I was talking to that guy, that was a wonderful opportunity to bring in Jesus. and so what I always tell people, when you get up in the morning, prepare that the Lord will give you opportunities to talk about Him, and just be prepared for that. Be alert to those opportunities. And then I think, especially with like your listeners on the show, I'm totally convinced that sometimes, especially we Lutherans, we are so much better prepared than we think we are, and that we know what to tell people. If we listen to them and understand their vocabulary, we know what to tell them. And I'm just going to encourage them, you know, just witness to them. I always say God has not called us to be lawyers. He called us to be witnesses. We don't have to make the case. The Holy Spirit makes the case. All I need to do is say, what do I know? You know, what did I see? And we can do that if we are alert to the opportunities that God gives us, that He throws across our path. So
I like so much what you said there, and you said a bunch of really important stuff. Mark, we had a synodical president, Dr. Al Berry, who used to continue to encourage us to do what he tried to do, and that's he said I didn't do it every day, but every day I prayed that God would allow me to share my faith in Jesus with somebody. And you were saying that too. And you know, one of the biggest discouragements that the devil does, along with our sinful spirit, is to say, hey, I don't know all the answers about the LDS Church. And so how can I possibly engage with them? And that's not what it's about. You're encouraging us. We know the good news. We know the gospel. And so talk to the Mormons, the LDS people, ask them what they believe about Jesus, and then tell them about the real Jesus. And we all can do that. I mean, little kids can.
Right. And I'm going to just give one quick plug before we're done. This whole initiative about witnessing to LDS missionaries, we have a separate website for that. It's called pleaseopenthedoor.com. pleaseopenthedoor.com. And the reason I want to give a plug for this is because I think a lot of times stranger evangelism, you know, witnessing to people who are not friends, is good training for friendship evangelism. And what's wonderful about our program, and people are saying it all over the place, is that we got a lot of written resources that they can tap into, but the big thing we do is we offer personal coaching to anybody who signs up to witness to an LDS missionary. So every week we are on the phone or Skyping with people and saying, okay, this is what happened at your meeting last week. Here's a plan how you can witness next week. Let me send you one or two articles that will help you plan your witness. And we take people by the hand through their process of witnessing, and that's been wonderful. It's great training.
So at pleaseopenthedoor.com, we're going to find specifics on how to share Jesus when these Mormon missionaries come to our door houses. And I'm going to put a link on the archive of the show, Mark, not only to pleaseopenthedoor.com, but also to TILM.org, so our people can get to those really fast. I really think that's marvelous. So just a dedicated website to that alone, how to share Jesus with Mormon missionaries at our doors.
Right. And again, we just started it this fall, but, you know, we've had, you know, quite a few people go through it, and I can say almost without exception, if they follow our plan, and the biggest thing that many Christians have to do is during the first meeting kind of bite your tongue and build that bridge of relationship. But if they follow that, it's been a wonderful experience. It's been a wonderful experience. And I just got an email this morning from a couple that are doing in California. They're about their fourth or fifth visit with their sister missionaries. And it was kind of interesting. They were sending me a report, and they have such a good relationship with them now. And they asked the sisters, what are some stresses you guys are experiencing as Mormons? And the one sister confided, well, one of the biggest stresses is believing is the Book of Mormon is true or not. That's a wonderful admission to a Christian.
Absolutely, that they're starting to doubt the validity of that supposed holy book. That's fantastic. The air here, Mark, what's one suggestion that you would give us when we hear the doorbell ring and it's these Mormon missionaries there and they want to speak to us? I would say for sure, if you have the time, invite them in or go out on the doorstep if the weather's nicer. Don't do it now when it's 13 degrees outside, but have them in. And as they start talking, would we first, maybe you were alluding to this, we first just want to hear them out and ask them questions about what they mean by those words?
Right. And I think more and more I'm encouraging people to try to get them to come back, because what we're finding, if I can build that relationship, we can witness more. But even if it's a one-time, only one visit, I would still encourage to do some listening. But then I would really encourage two things, to kind of, in the back of my mind, focus that they believe grace plus, that they believe in works. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to witness to them two things: my tremendous confidence and my great joy in that I am already perfect in God's sight. and do that, and I'll tell you, I would say most Mormon missionaries will start asking you questions.
There you're back to those positives rather than, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell if you keep believing it, you need to repent. That's not going to get very far. They're probably not going to come back again.
No, I really like what Paul did in Acts chapter 17 in Athens. He was greatly distressed because he saw all these all these altars. But you know what? If you look at what Paul did, he never said anything negative to them. He said,
no.
"Oh, I see you're very religious." And he said, "Let me tell you about the unknown God."
Yeah, let me point out this statue over here and tell you what it's all. And then they said, "We're gonna have to hear you out more." So you're doing that same kind of thing.
Right. That's kind of what we're trying to do, and the Lord is really blessing it.
And so, we usually, as you say, we can't do everything even a couple hours. So we want to keep the discussion going so we can share the real Jesus with them. Well, Mark, I know I've even been blessed today. I kind of read up a little bit in the Kingdom of Cults, and I've learned even more things. You've blessed me, if you were to come here on the chapel on Friday, I'm doing chapel here at International Center of the Missouri Synod, and I'm going to use this not even once club in my sermon. This is going to fit perfect. So great stuff that you're doing out there. We keep you in our prayers, and I follow you with your materials. Come. Keep it up, and we hope to do this again, Mark.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
And check this out, Truth and Love Ministry, TILM.org. PleaseOpenTheDoor.com. And we're going to put links to both of those. And I'm going to even throw in a link to a great book, Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons, here on our book site. So we're the show, Cross Defense, where we do nothing, but we talk about the intellectual challenges to the Christian faith, the false Jesus of Mormonism, the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Today was our topic. And this show will be archived soon, probably tomorrow. You can listen to it. You can share it. Get everyone excited so that when these people come to our doors, we can point them to the real Jesus, the one who loved us and them and died for us on a cross. And so join us next week as we defend the faith of Jesus Christ here on Cross Defense, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for these past 90 years.
appointed place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.